Vices Radio Network.
No sleep till...
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to It's Just Bodybuilding. This is episode 5. I'm your co-host, Ron Parlo, and with me is Dusty Hanshaw. What's going on down in Arizona?
Melting, currently. I told you I was a little late getting on the show because I had to do my grilling, and I timed my grilling poorly today, the same time that the landscapers are here. So we had a little war between the blower and me getting to grill. He won because I really didn't want any leaves on my fucking chicken. So I had to wait, and thus, thank God we're not live, or they would have had to wait.
What's it like grilling when it's already, what's it outside, 110 down there or something?
It's terrible. I mean, it's 10:45 right now.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, you know, so it's still plenty morning, and right now it's 90 degrees.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, standing over a barbecue in 90 degrees.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's no ways around it, but, you know, hardcore, so I get it done.
Get the food in. So this is our pre-Olympia episode. You know, we're no guests today, just you and I bantering, you know, and it's Olympia time. So there's going to be a lot of Olympia talk, man. Are you excited? What's going on?
You know, I am, and I'm also, I'm sure some people have seen, I'm a little bit heated at the same time. I'm a little bit blown away at the terrible decision made by AMI to ban Sean Roden, the current champion, from the Olympia, based off of, you know, not believing in due process, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You know, because to me, it's very simple. Number one, I want Roden to do the show because he should. Number two, if he were to win and get convicted, strip him of the money and the prize. Fuck, don't give him the money until after it's done. Whatever you have to do, you can negotiate that behind the scenes and let the guy hit the stage. And I'm firmly enough against it, but I'm not attending the Olympia this year.
Ah, Dustin's making a stand.
It's, yeah, you know, they're going to feel it, bitch. My $126 is not coming. No, truthfully, though, it's just one of those things where I'm like, you know, how do you roll that way? And I mean, I know it doesn't matter, but it's just one of those things where for me, it's an interesting stance because I kind of feel like it's the whole, everyone's got your back, but not really.
Right.
Because they're all going to go on, including your friends and family, and go to the show. And Sean and I aren't really close. I mean, we know each other, but I mean, I didn't go to his birthday party or anything.
Right. Right.
You know, and I just think it's a shitty way of doing things, particularly since the guy who runs AMI is a complete scumbag. So, not AMI, but, you know, David Pecker, I guess. So, yeah, it is him.
Yeah.
You know, so comical coming from his glass house that we're trashing Roden. But we'll see. You know, I mean, that's the business and obviously a separate subject. And I would have liked to see him have to work because I don't think that Sean's a shoo-in to win if he did the show.
Right. It would have. Well, I mean, the show would have been 100 times better if he was in it, you know. I mean, the excitement of him having to defend that title. Yep. It's something that would have been, I mean, you know, you'd think a company that's just into it for the money.
Yeah.
Would actually see there's more money letting him do the show.
For sure.
So, yeah, I'm not happy about that either. You see the picture on Chris's Instagram today?
Yeah.
You know, yep. So Sean's in Vegas, you know, he's in the big, what do you think's going through his head? Like, do you think he's just like, I'm here for the fans. I'm here for me. I'm here to keep my sanity. What do you think he's there for?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all of the above. I mean, I think that, you know, I think here, I'll tell you what I would be thinking since I don't know what Sean's thinking. A guilty man hides. So get out there. Let people see you. Show that you're still there for them. And the only thing that you're not doing is because you couldn't do it.
You're not
sitting at home. You know, and on the flip, he's there for his friends who are competing and these things. He's showing support for his training partner, his friends, you know, all that good stuff. So definitely hats off to him. And I think long term, you know, it's a good decision because once he is proven not guilty and he comes back, it definitely looks better that he didn't throw two fingers in the air.
kind of go out like Lee Priest style or something.
You know, yeah, sure, you know. So, I mean, I just think it's, and all the way around, it's a good decision. And I really respected, but was equally confused that he kept prepping. Because
yeah,
I knew the whole time, as did everyone, that they're not going to change their mind. I mean, unless somehow the charges were magically dropped, it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
You know, so that part, I think it was Dennis James that said that he thinks that the reason for that was keeping his sanity. It gave him something to focus on besides an impending court date.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was interesting because, I mean, we've talked about this before. We've had, you know, life, you know, what were catastrophes to us.
Right.
Obviously, his situation's kind of like, whoa, that's like nightmare level. But, you know, like, I went through a huge breakup, like, right as a prep started. And, you know, I've been, you know, been down that road, right? Like, where there's yeah. something major. And that's exactly what I thought he was doing. I was like, man, he had this process lined up all year.
Yep.
And he just can't let his life go off the rails. And also, too, like, you know, I mean, when I went through tough times or whatever, the prep probably kept me from doing way worse stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe, you know, he would have been out just like, maybe he would have gone on a party binge and like, you know, just gotten in trouble with, you know, well, what do bodybuilders get in trouble with? You know, pussy and drugs.
Yeah. And in general, but yes, definitely about it.
So
easier for us, but yes.
Yeah, it's just like, that's probably, you know, like, I'm not saying he's that type of guy, you know, or everyone's that type of guy. I'm just, you know, a general joke that, you know, if you keep yourself from kind of going astray. Right. And, you know, maybe the worst thing that'll happen to you is you'll get depressed and you'll sit in your house for 6 months, but that's still 6 months wasted life, you know.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
You're not the one who's doing drugs and partying. You're the one who's like hibernating and not even talking to your friends. And, you know, it's a crazy situation. So prep saved me from that. And I figured that's exactly what Roden was doing.
He's progressing. You know, I mean, if nothing else, he's bodybuilding, which puts him one step closer to next year's title, assuming that everything smooths over and he gets it done. So like you said, that same mentality is if he sat in his house for 3 or 4 months and, you know, was depressed and didn't train and didn't do bodybuilding, I think he'd lose sponsors, which, you know, good on his sponsors for rocking right by his side through this. I think that's very telling.
Yeah. Did he lose any?
I don't think he lost any.
I don't think he didn't actually lose any sponsors, eh?
No, I think, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I guess here's the deal. And I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of people that freak out of the thought, but it's really simple. Until it's done.
Yeah.
You know, your girlfriend can accuse you of those things if you get in a fight and she runs down the street, you know, so your company has to look and say, you know what, we're going to see how this plays out.
Yeah, but just wait it out.
We don't have anything. And we all know that, you know, the higher you are, the bigger a target you are. You know, I mean, you don't rob an empty bank, you rob a full one. Sean, right. Bank is pretty full.
Well, I'm excited to see it. So let's get to the big question. We'll kick it off. The one that everyone's hounding me with. I've had like 20 people at the gym this week pull me aside and ask me what's going to happen in the men's open at the Olympia. What's your pick? Do we get into the picks right now, buddy?
Heck yeah. Let's just get right to it. And unlike most, I like to just go for it. You know, everybody wants to do their whole, well, if ever, of
yeah.
course, in shape, this is the answer.
So
my pick based not on just if everyone's in shape, but who I assume will be in shape. I had Brandon Curry winning the Olympia.
Okay.
I think he will do so relatively handily. And I say that because my other pick for winning is Rulli, and I think he won't be hard enough.
Right.
Which will allow Brandon to have enough gap. And I'm sure there's plenty of people watching going, well, shit, really beat him last year at the Olympia. But Brandon's made enough improvements that I think it's going to be fine. And I just get a vibe. You know what I mean? From watching. You ever notice that where you see guys when they start to know? There's a difference between I'm going for it and I'm winning.
Yeah.
I feel like Brandon is going into the Olympia – to win, like knowing he's probably going to win. you know?
So I know exactly what you're saying. I'm actually telling everyone that I got Rolly.
Okay.
And the reason I'm doing that is because I think from what I've heard, Rolly is extremely angry about his showing at the Arnold.
Right.
And I'm sort of like, huh, I like an angry Rolly. I put a little money on it.
Dangerous.
Yeah, I put a little money on an angry Rolly. Sure, right. Why not? It's Vegas.
Yep.
So, and also too, just the, you know, I know Brandon had the killer Arnold, but, you know, Rolly was third at the O last year. He's technically the incumbent, and I always am very respectful of that placing. And then one more thing is, in order for Brandon Curry to win the Olympia, Brandon Curry has to become only the second person in history to win the Arnold and the Olympia in the same year, because the only person who ever did that was Ronnie.
Right. And that screwed him, actually, because he was great at that Arnold and he was not great at that Olympia.
Yeah, that Olympia almost cost him. So, and even he said it. He said he was like, that was the year he bit off too much, you know? And so I just think, hey, I'd be super happy to see Brandon win it. I mean, he's a good guy. And if you saw his interview with Scott on Advices Radio,
mm-hmm.
that's where I thought he sounded like he, in his head, he's right. Like, I'm Mr. Olympia 2019. Like, it sounded like he was super confident, but I'm still sort of like, I like Rolly. There's something just so ridiculous about him. I would like to see
that against, because, you know, a nuts Rolly wins. Cause there's just,
yeah. So on. Between the two of them, I think, and this sounds so bodybuilding stereotypical, like, just I think it literally is going to be which one of those guys has harder, more striated glutes,
right?
Because Brandon always has a lower body issue, like, they're not quite as hard as the other guys sometimes, and then Rolly is not quite hard enough. So if whichever one of them has more shredded glutes is going to look crazier and is going to win.
That's definitely a fair review, you know, and it's not so generic as whoever comes in better.
yeah. It literally comes down to glutes with those guys. Like, literally. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which yeah. makes sense. Now, let's,
whoops.
Whoa. You're getting
almost wild. Dropped the camera. I was getting excited.
It happens. So with that, we're agreeing on first and second, just in a different order.
Yeah.
Who's in third?
So this is where I want to have some fun. I believe in this guy. I know he doesn't need me to believe in him. He's got plenty of people that believe in him. But I remember seeing Luke Sandow at the Body Power Expo in like 2015. Uh-huh. And I remember seeing him in shorts and a tank top. And I'm not fucking joking. My first thought is, that guy has everything.
Right.
It was the first thing I thought. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even met the guy. I saw him stand at the booth he was at. I met him like a minute after that because someone introduced us.
Right.
And I just remember I looked at him and I was like, oh, that's a head-to-toe 3D bodybuilder. Like, yeah. All the way.
Yeah. And he's connecting it at forearms from shoulders. And
fucking everything. And then I remember everyone telling me, oh, yeah, he's awesome. He just doesn't quite get hard enough. And then, like, right away, I think it was like the next year, he got hard enough to get his pro card. And now we've seen what's happened with him working with Aceto.
Yep.
And I think the reason I believe in Luke Sandow so much is because I think what he needed was to level up here.
Right.
And he's working with Chris now, and we all kind of know the story of how him and Chris have, you know, leveled up. Yep. And the third at the Arnold was proof that is like the programming is occurring.
Right.
And now I hear Luke talk, like you were saying, oh, how Brandon believes he's Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
I hear Luke starting to believe he has what it takes and he can be Mr. Olympia. And I think he's like, he's one of the guys, man.
Well, and he actually openly said he would be in the top five, which yeah. I know some guys think, well, why wouldn't you just say win? But saying that is bold as hell, knowing how hard it is to get in the top 10.
Yeah.
And I'm not being wrongfully bold, but when a guy like Luke, who's not at all arrogant, I mean, if you know Luke at all, he's not a guy who's ever thought he was better than he was.
No.
He just knows how good he is now. But I think the key to Luke is that he leaves his thinking in England.
Yes.
Let Chris take care of that.
Yeah. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do anything. Yeah.
Just, I mean, you know, I would, as long as his brain is off and he just trusts Chris to do what he does, then yeah, I think that what you're shooting at is absolutely a possibility because he is that good. And now I think after Tampa, he knows to play his own game. I think he got a little concerned. Actually, I know he got a little concerned because I talked about it. With coming in based on knowing he was competing with Dexter.
Yeah, he's just got to be Luke. Which is how Dorian was. Dorian was like, it was going to be the craziest fucking thing. Like, he wasn't thinking about trying to play anyone's game.
Yep.
And I think Luke is also the most similar to Dorian of anyone we've really seen in the last 15 years. There's just so much about him that reminds me of Dorian.
Right.
You know, he's like, the way he looks in his back lat spread reminds me of Dorian.
Uh-huh.
When you know that.
He looks like Dorian.
When he hits Dorian's shot, his side chest reminds me of Dorian.
Hmm.
He's just got some shots that remind me of him, you know, and it's not necessarily like a shape or any. I mean, there are some structural things. He's got the crazy calves from the back and like certain things just look Dorian-ish. But there's also just the way his back hangs and the way his traps sit and stuff. He's got a look that to me is very Mr. Olympia-ish. Like, right. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, so I'm a fan of that physique. He's I think he's got what it takes. I'd love to see him land in third.
Right. No, I think that's totally feasible. Plus,
yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing I think he's got going for him is he's got a Yorkie. So real men have Yorkies.
You know, he's leaving all his anger and his ego elsewhere, and he's coming home all relaxed to this fun little Yorkie dog.
I know that people are sitting there as I'm about to lay out this one thing he's got. That's
yes.
Yorkie.
Oh, fuck, the Yorkie.
All right. Okay. So we've got the top three, and I'm good with that stance so far. I'm going to throw a question at you rather than a fourth place.
Okay.
What's going to happen to William Bonac?
Well, William Bonac.
I'm asking.
Yeah. So here's the thing. When I saw Hattie Chopin at the Vancouver Pro,
mm-hmm.
I had two things in my head. The first thing was, holy fuck, he's destroying everyone.
Right.
And I mean, Nathan was there. So where was Nathan last year? You know? Was he sixth or something?
Yeah, I think a little higher than that, but yeah, I mean, he was in the mix.
Was he fifth or seventh, you mean?
No, I think he was higher. I think he might have been like seventh or eighth.
Right, okay. So Hottie was like it wasn't even close, man. It was like Hottie won the show in the front relaxed.
Right.
So that was like very impactful because when you win a pro show without posing.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's almost like winning at weigh-ins if everybody was peeled down.
Yeah, it's like when you know those every like I mean I won a show at weigh-ins before. I know what that's like. You're like, oh, I've won this show.
Yep.
But that's what it was. So that was an impactful thing. But then secondly, as I had to remind myself that it wasn't the Olympia lineup.
Right.
Because it was just such a dominant win. I'm like, okay, now don't get ahead of yourself here. And I sort of was thinking, could he be top five? And I'm thinking, yeah, from what I saw, I think Hottie could be top five, and that could be a problem for Bonac. So now the problem with Bonac, I think Bonac is equally good, muscle, striation, quality. Like the Bonac is just ridiculous quality when I look at his physique.
Top to bottom.
But I think Bonac lacks a little bit of width in the shoulders.
Right.
Like his shoulder to waist taper isn't crazy,
mm-hmm.
and Hottie's is.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I sort of Hottie kind of romanced me a little bit with how he looked in Vancouver, and I kind of want to be one of the people that was like, "See, I told you," you know, because right. I, you know, everyone that saw him at that show was like, "Holy shit,"
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think the most excited people about the visa are the people that saw him in Vancouver.
Yeah, for sure, because everybody wants to know then how he really stacks up.
You know, like,
and it's all we'll see. Until he does, you know? I mean, I compare it to, you know, I remember when everyone was talking about Rami and how big he is. And obviously he is fucking huge. But I remember saying, he hasn't stood next to Kai yet. And right. As soon as he stood next to Kai, you're like, oh, it's about the same. Like, you, it really just leveled it right out. Because, you know, yeah, he might be bigger, but he didn't look bigger anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So I agree. Like, putting him in that lineup changes things. But I also think my big hang-up with Bonac is I think a lot of guys have coaches and they do great. And then they think, cool, I don't need the coach anymore. I can do it myself. And don't get me wrong, what he was being charged for his coach was obscene, if accurate. 40% of winnings is, you know, Chris charges Sean Roden and me probably the same amount, you know, because that's just the price for the job. It doesn't alter based on your success. But I think what you're going to run into is him being what he was pre getting on board with Neil, where he has it's all there, but someone needs to come up with a screwdriver and turn it once.
Yeah, that's him leaving Neil after, it's not like he was with Neil for 1 year, you know, he was like, since we've known of him, he's been with Neil.
He didn't go from Neil to someone else.
No,
he just doing it himself.
I remember, I think it was like 2013 maybe. I was in Dallas for a Gasp photo shoot.
Right.
And Neil Hill was there.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Neil actually did like a chess workout video together that like wound up on the cutting room floor somewhere, never even got seen. It would have been good. So I remember Neil telling me after the workout, I was like, oh, do you have any, like, who are your clients? Like, who do you have that's like, you know, because obviously he's already with Flex at that point, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, who do you got coming? And he's like, I got this guy that could be, and his words were, the next Dexter.
Right.
And I said, oh, who? And he goes, William Bonac. And I go, oh, I've heard that name. And he goes, yeah, he kind of looks like a mini Kai and he's got dreads. Because remember, he had the the dreads. He kind of looks like, and then I was like, oh, shit, that guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know him that well yet. But I remember Neil telling me about him back then before he was winning anything, you know. So we'll see how he looks now, man. You know, that's a big change. I mean, that's like getting traded to an entirely different team.
Yeah, no, that's why I asked that question that was more on that front, because I just think it's people going to find out it's more impactful than you think. Had he switched and went to someone else, someone else great, I would have said, shit, he's still in that mix of the top five. I'm going to go as far as say I don't think he's in the top five at this show now because of it. So we'll see.
Okay. So who do you have in that? So who's your fourth then?
All right. So my fourth, I think Chopin's a good option. So I would let him go in fourth. And my fifth, you'll never guess in a million years, is Steve Kuklo.
Oh, that's so funny. I was just going to say that Kuklo was one of my dark horses for top five.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I mean, he looks nuts. And I think, and some people won't understand this comment, but I think if Steve had nothing but bodybuilding, we'd be talking about him in the top three.
So I think exactly. He's one of those guys where when you see him in person, like, I've seen Steve in the gym several times training in like a tank top and shorts.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay. Exactly. I get it.
Everything. And it's mature and he's always trained heavy. Yeah. You know, he's got an awesome, and I love it too. He's got a coach that no one else has would ever have guessed, you know, his coach Gina.
No.
Yes, he's coached. God, what's Gina's last name? I can't think of it. She was a pro bodybuilder, actually. That's who coaches him.
Oh, and, I didn't know.
Yeah, and she's phenomenal. I mean, I've gone back and forth with her, even gotten advice and some thoughts from her on things that I didn't know about hormonally and stuff like that. I mean, she's just an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
So when Steve's career kind of leveled out, and then it jumped up, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, that's when he and her got together.
Okay.
And I mean, ever since, it's just been just cranking up. So yeah, I really see him sneaking in and kind of blowing people away. And it, ponder in the back of your head how many names I just left out to put Steve Kuklo in fifth. I mean,
that's crazy. I was gonna do exactly the same thing. So I was putting Hadi in fourth, and I was gonna say not only is Luke my kind of dark horse, but I got Steve coming in fifth too.
I thought I said it first.
yeah, no, I know. But I got the Luke one first, so we'll see if I'm right, I'll look good. So yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. And that would just be a crazy top five. I'd love to see it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a fan of all those physiques, so you know, we'd see what happens.
If you think about it too, all those physiques aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
Exactly. It's about done with their career right now. So how crazy is that to know they're all still improving? You know what I mean?
So now here's the thing. Everyone's saying, well, what about Dexter?
Right.
So Dexter's the guy, just like he's been his whole career. Dexter's the guy that is there to take out every single person who makes the tiniest mistake.
Yep.
So Dexter lands where the mistakes stop.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. That's just his physique, the size-wise, in a lineup with guys like this.
Yep.
So if the mistakes go all the way to Rolly and Brandon.
Yeah, Dexter Jackson wins again.
Dexter Jackson wins the Olympia.
Yep.
That's how crazy, dangerous, and unpredictable Dexter can be at this show.
Yeah. I agree. Well, the predictability of Dexter is he will be on. So you can't.
Yes.
That's it.
Like, yeah. Like he's
Tampa, you know,
his placing's unpredictable. He's completely predictable. That's what I meant.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's an incredible thing. And I'm all about Dexter Jackson winning the Olympia, too, just because I didn't put him like remember, these are all based on people being on.
Right.
And we know that everyone's not on, like, yeah, we know that's not going to happen. So that's where Dexter Jackson lands. And man, if he won the Olympia again, I just saying, I think one of the most awesome things to see would be Dexter Jackson, Mr. Olympia 2008-2019.
Right. No, yeah, no shit to think about those years in between. Like, this would be what I think this would be his 30th pro win too.
So in between those two Olympia wins, you could fit Dorian or Lee Haney's entire career.
Right. And actually easily squeeze all that in there.
Cause like Lee Haney was a pro for like 8 years, 9 years.
Right.
And Dorian was a pro for like 10 years.
Yeah. Was it?
Like, no. Not even. Seven years.
Seven, 8 years. Yeah, because it was, he did the.
He turned pro in 89.
Then a second place, then six. So, yep, eight.
Yeah. So you'd have like those two crazy, you know, elite Mr. Olympia legends, their entire careers would fit between his wins. Right. And that would be a story for. Like, well, plus, man, you know, a little soft spot being in my 40s now, you know,
he's doing it for you.
Like, ah, fuck. It's awesome. The thing with Dexter is how the fuck does he not have anything visually wrong with him? His calves have like kind of they're a little fucked up now compared to how they used to look. And I know I'm like my one calf shrunk on me and I tore my other calf and it doesn't look the same. And right. So his calves don't quite look that great. He never had great calves anyways, but the rest of
muscle to be a little bit off. Let's leave it to the calves. All right. Not the
yeah, bite. Yeah, yeah. But the rest of his body, like it doesn't look like his triceps look perfect. His shoulders have like, it doesn't look like he's ever had a bad shot is what I'm trying to say.
Well, nobody, you know, what's also funny is he doesn't look tired. The muscle, you know what I'm saying?
That's exactly.
Starts to get tired, but I think what it goes back to and is the fact that Dexter adapted during his career. How he trains now, how he does his cardio now, the weight he chooses, machines versus free weights, all of that has evolved the entire time. He's just kept his eye on it, whereas the rest of us, you know, my dumb ass will be deadlifting eight plates until I can't. You know, so for him, it was a matter of he was smart enough to look and go, it's not that I can't do that anymore. It's that it's not the best move anymore.
Well, yeah, he says he trains all machines.
Mm-hmm.
And Dexter Charles sort of like spots him all the time. Like, it's like, which would drive me fucking bananas.
I'd yell at you for sure.
Like, I'd be yelling at you for sure. So it would drive me nuts. But I think it's just a safety thing. It's like Charles is paranoid about the weight, like stopping at any point. Like, he doesn't want Dexter to hit a sticking point.
Right.
You know, just like keep it moving all the way to 12, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's all volume training.
Yep.
And it's all super safe. You know, he's wrapping his knees like massively for his leg presses and stuff and just training safe. You just got really dark on me. I don't know if you actually got dark.
The weather is crappy again. Give me 10 seconds. I like being dark, though. 1 second. I have to turn my light on.
You look like Darth Vader's lair.
Well, my whole plan here, beyond I look better in the dark, is I'm also getting my eye surgery finally on Thursday. So my eye right now looks like I smoked weed only on this side of my face.
Oh, right. Like you just puffed over on.
Somehow this eye got swollen and watery. So I'm only half high right now, apparently.
Okay. But well, no, that's cool. Half our audience is half high, Dusty.
Well, that's why I've also got this so I can look better and better on how we're doing it.
I went with the backwards hat. I saw Rogan had his hat on backwards the other day, and I was like, I'm going to give that a try. Because, you know, I always feel like I'm a little too old to just walk around in public with my hat backwards. But I don't know. You managed to pull it off.
Yeah, I do it all the time. It gets a little tougher with the flat brim because I'm still old. I'm like, I know if I was younger, I'd be like, look at that fucking old guy trying to be cool. No.
Yeah, no. I saw Fuad the other day made me laugh. He said he showed up at the gym with his hat on sideways because he was like just getting out of his truck and he just like threw his hat on and like came into the gym. And it annoyed Paul so much.
But he left it.
He was like, oh, we're fucking doing a whole workout like this. And it was just so funny. Made me laugh. Made me think of you, Dusty. That's something that one of us would do to the other.
Exactly.
So let's move on. Okay, we did the men's open. We did the dark horses in the top five. What's going to happen in the 212 quick? You know, we don't want to talk about the places forever. I got Derek winning. I just don't see anyone coming close to him. And like, I'm a huge fan of Sean Clarita.
Of course.
And I think he's just fucking incredible bodybuilder. And I just want to see Clarita place as high as fucking possible. And I think Derek's going to win. And that's basically all I really have to say about the 212.
Right. No, I think he'll do phenomenal, obviously, and win. I would like to see John Jewett get in that mix, too, just because nobody thought about him up until a couple of weeks ago. So I would like to see him do well. but outside of that, I mean, I think I'm hoping that something happens in the next year or two with the 212 where it gets exciting again, because when it was Flex, Jose, Eduardo, on and on and on, even though money was on Flex, there was excitement going into the 212. And I feel for some reason, and not a shot on any of these guys, are phenomenal, but that's a little hollow compared to before right now.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, having all the new blood, you know, what does Sean Ray say? All these new jacks.
Right.
You know, I think Sean Ray would say having all these new jacks come in and upset the apple cart.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what he would say.
So the thing with that is, you know, you don't know their names and you're not emotionally attached to any of them.
Well, nobody got to really upset the apple cart too much because everyone kind of left at the same time.
Yeah, like a whole bunch of vets just sort of like departed and then Flex like, you know, left the division. And so it has a bit of a vacuous feel. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the physiques are awesome. So, I mean, I want to see Zane Watson kick some ass. I mean, you know, I competed with him at Canada's. He's a good guy, man. And, you know, a hardworking dude. And there's some great bodybuilders on this list. I mean, I'm looking at it now. There's a bunch of names I don't know from overseas, guys from Libya and Spain and Saudi Arabia. And, oh, that's that Fahad guy. I mean, those guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. Aaron Polites. I don't know how to say his name. Polites.
Yeah.
Aaron Polites from Australia. I follow, like, the Aussie guys. And, I mean, he's an awesome bodybuilder, that guy. So, I mean, you know, No, it's funny because Jose's on the list.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, I don't think he's going to do too well this year. But Jose, he's got a week to get ready. He can still pull it off.
Yeah. He's, I just need to quit drinking tequila for 8 weeks and shave.
Ready to go.
That's Jose. So, yeah, that's a 212. Now, Classic, how invested are you in Classic?
I'm not a ton in Classic, but I'm a fan of a couple of the top guys, obviously.
Right. I'm a fan of the physiques. I mean, I coach Classic physique guys. I mean, I've nothing against the division. They look awesome. I'm just, you know, as far as like where my attention goes for kind of like the show, it always goes to the men's open.
Right.
But, well, I mean, I mean, this Breon guy, did you see that picture of him the other day?
Oh yeah. He's wacky. He has destroyed last year's version already.
Yeah.
He looks markedly bigger, but then somehow also, he got 5 years of muscle maturity in the last 12 months on every muscle in his body.
Like his the quad striations. The first thing I thought was this picture's filtered fucking all the way to the nuts. But then I looked at his face because, you know, you can tell when guys filter the shit.
Face is grainy, you know.
Yeah, they got like a cement face. And so I looked at the face. I looked at the picture on the wall. Looked at the doorknob.
You're looking for anything to prove.
I'm like, he might just fucking look that good. But he's Breon. Yeah. So what the fuck? So, and then you got Bumstead, which obviously I'm a huge fan of that guy's physique. I mean, can you imagine just walking around looking like that? You know?
Yeah, it's, not at all, actually. Because I have nothing. I don't – the face, hair, physique. I've got height. I hate him, actually, in hindsight.
He's everything I never had. Yeah, exactly. You know, like – when I was at my best, nobody wanted to see me in tight jeans and, you know, a stylish shirt.
Yeah, never once.
No one ever wanted to see me, but he pulls it off. The guy pulls it off. I mean, I'd love to see Bumstead win and bring that home. He's been second 2 years in a row, right?
Yep, to Rion.
So even when he was technically at his worst, which was last year.
Yeah. So I mean, I would be stunned if they're not 1-2. And I hate to be this guy, but I would like to see the sport grow more and more, which means those two trading off in my head is better for the sport, just like bodybuilding, than someone winning every year. So in a complete unbiased way, other than for the sport, I'd love to see it flip-flop just so they can go to war again next year.
Right. Like almost like a classic physique, Jay and Ronnie.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's exciting. They
are there, you know. And the cool thing is both guys are awesome. They bring, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing shady bullshit on the side that you're hearing about that you're like, oh, well, he's a douche, so I hope he loses. You know, they're both solid dudes, so I would love to see it. But I think some back and forth, because when you win three in a row, it starts to be like, you know, well, who's coming for second?
Right. It'll be good. So how many Olympias have you attended, Dusty? Let's get away from the actual show and let's get to the whole process.
My first one was 2003, and I've been every year until this year.
Every year until this year. Yep. So are you going to Vegas and just not going to the show?
I'm not going at all. I'll be sitting in Scottsdale being a bodybuilder instead of watching bodybuilders.
Okay.
Part of it was because Mutant didn't do a booth.
Yeah.
And I booked everything up and got it all. And then it kind of hit me. I was doing it out of habit.
Right.
Like, I'm about to take on, and you know me, I don't really know how to do anything kind of partially. So I'll spend $3,000 or $4,000 dicking off in Vegas. So I was like, I'm going to stay home.
I'm in a funny position this year. I've been every year since 2002, right. Except I missed like, I think two. I can't remember.
That's
it was like,
then.
Yeah. Pretty. I've been up there. So I'm in a situation where there's a ton of people going from the gym,
right?
Because my one business partner is getting married. So it's sort of like the stag get party, you know, like Friday night, all the guys are going out. Saturday night, everyone's going out together, you know, right. That sort of shit. Right. So it'll be fun, but there's going to be like a lot of people are going for like the first time or whatever, and they're super excited. So they want to do everything. And here I am like 15th Olympia. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about Vegas. I just want to like see the night show and fly home.
Right.
But obviously, you know, you want to all of a sudden I have all this fun stuff that we can do. It's just it's been a long time since I, you know, went out in Vegas. So it's going to, you know, I am going to go out Friday night. We're going to go out after the prejudging. And so I might have a bit of fun, but it's been a while. So, you know, I might be the one that goes home early. We'll see.
Don't worry. I'm the one that never came. So there you go.
I just don't want to be like Frank the Tank, you know, where I almost make it out and then someone gets me going and then it's like.
So much for your nice little Saturday at the Home Depot and Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah. And then you don't come back and everyone sees me at the gym and I'm just ashamed, you know.
You guys remember when Ron went streaking in Vegas?
Yeah. What happened with Ron at the pool? You know, so I'm almost afraid to take the cork out of that bottle, you know.
Oh, God.
We'll see. No, I don't plan on doing anything crazy, but it is going to be a bit more of an eventful weekend because we got some stuff to do. You know, we're going to be meeting for dinner and doing that sort of stuff. So it'll be a really fun weekend. Looking forward to it. I was telling people the stops to go to eat and everything like that. What's your favorite place in Vegas to eat for everyone listening who wants to have a meal?
Well, I mean, for real food, I'm a huge fan of Nine at the Palms, which is a nice steakhouse. That place is awesome. They actually do for dessert, they have s'mores and bring fire to your table.
Okay.
And you can make your s'mores. I mean, what do you want?
Can you wear sweatpants?
I think when you have enough money in Vegas, you can wear whatever the hell you want.
Right. That's the thing about Vegas is there's like some places you got to dress up, but then everywhere other places you're like, oh, they just want everyone's money. That guy's flip flops on.
If you walk in and they see a wad in your front pocket, they're like, sir, sit wherever the fuck you want.
Yeah, you see tank tops. It's funny when you see like tank tops and stuff in like nice lounges, people just sitting there with flip flops on, fucking.
But the thing about Vegas though is like nothing. You know, nothing's off limits in any direction. You know, girls wearing a clear top, no one blinks. I'm wearing what I wear every day and no one blinks. It's like, as long as they're here to pay the bill and he's probably going to pay for hers, everything will be fine.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting place. And everyone that's going for the first time, you know, just have fun. Be careful, you know,
buckle your shots, your helmets.
Yes. Keep your hand on your wallet when you're at the strippers. Because they have an extraction process there that is sneak up on you.
Not that it's happened to you, but you know, you've heard.
You know, I don't know what it's like to spend like $800 at the strippers in one night. But let me tell you, it would probably be a bad feeling.
Probably not the best the next day.
You're probably at breakfast the next day feeling a little bit ashamed of yourself. I'm guessing. So
awesome.
Okay,
we're gonna hit some of our questions for Coach's Corner too.
Yeah, so here's a good one. I was gonna start with this one just because it's a fun one, but it's from Big Hague.
Right.
He said, if you and Dusty both started a prep tomorrow, who would win?
well let's see here. You know what's scary, because this is my answer to that. I'm fat and small right now. You don't want to be fat and small. You could be fat and big and be in a good place. So I wouldn't be too confident right now. I'm going to be honest with you.
And I'm half dieted.
And you're halfway home. So I think you're going to be in a good spot here.
Well, I appreciate the tilt of the hat. But my answer is that I am just too retired to be competitive against you, Dusty.
He's just decided, you know, he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, you know, my off-season weight now is like 290 if I eat. And
versus 330.
Which is a little bit long ways off from where I used to sit off-season. So I would have a little bit of muscle to add. I might need like an 18-month prep.
Right. Yeah, because maybe you got to go up before you can come back down.
I would have to spend like a year getting huge.
You'll tell me exactly what that's how I kind of got this whole thing kicking. Was I was like, all right, I'm going to take some progress pictures. I'm going to go for it. I looked up and was like, fuck, I used to be better than this. And that's not a good feeling. Like,
right. I know exactly what you mean.
I've never been phenomenal, but I was better than this at one point.
I get a lot of people at the gym asking me, like, you going to do another show? And I appreciate that they think that I might look like I could do another show, but right. it would be a pro show.
Right.
It wouldn't be because that's what it would be. Yeah. And so for a pro show, no, I'm not getting ready for a show. So yeah. The thing is like, nobody out here has really ever saw me at
peak. Yeah.
At my biggest.
Edmonton when you were, when you
yeah.
were.
Like the people back in Edmonton that trained at Hardcore Gym, they saw me at 3:30. They saw me at 3:20 all the time, you know, like training in
they
the gym.
They would downsized.
Yeah. They would see me and go, oh, you're looking really good.
Yeah.
Right. Meaning like healthy and like you still look big.
You look
and,
athletic.
Yeah. The people in Edmonton would not like they would know the deal. So yeah, no one here has ever seen me at those body weights with the, like, you know, the kind of the size I used to carry. So it's a nice compliment to know that someone thinks I could do another show, but I'm
very
truly
tired. That's awesome.
I'm truly doing this for me at this point, Dusty.
That's awesome.
So but that was a good one. That was a good one. There's another one here. Here's a good one. This is from Callan Klein. Since stress affects your physique, how do competitors stay calm up to showtime?
We're talking about the very end.
Talking about the peak week, I think. Like last few days, you know, you're flying, you're traveling, you're driving, how do you stay calm? What would be some tips that you would give someone?
I mean, this is a little bit tough for me. Because, and I say this not at all joking, but you know me, like nothing really gets me worked up in the entire world. Right. So it's a little hard for me to identify. And I think the main reason I could say that during a prep is I'm so prepared that nothing's going to throw me off. But the other thing is I have people around me. I've been fortunate to always have someone around that would, if shit went sideways, someone would take care of it. Like, you know, if my food went bad when I was prepping for the USA's or any of those shows, I had 5 or 6 people with me that would be raising their hand. I'll go get food. I'll cook food. I'll do this. So I never worried because even if something did go off, I knew it would get handled. And an example actually is 1 year we booked at the Signature Suites in Vegas for the USA's. And we didn't book from them. We booked an off-site thing. Well, the very first morning, wake up after staying there, get a call from the front desk. They're like, you guys going to check out? No, it's Thursday. Checking out on Sunday. Long story short, it turns out that who we booked from was playing the race game with the hotel, and they were booking individual nights every day, trying to catch the right rate to make maximum dollars off of us.
Right.
And all I did... was literally, I looked at my wife that was with me at the time and I said, handle this.
Yeah.
And I turned my brain off. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And I, to this day, I actually have no idea what happened.
Yeah. You go, this is a credit card. I'm going to go sit down.
Yeah. No, that's, I literally never went to the front desk. I have no idea if we paid for the entire week again. I have no clue. I just know it was done. But I would say to answer the question, it's being prepared, having every little thing. And if you haven't done this a lot, as cheesy as it is, a list to make sure that when you get to your destination, you've got your food scale, you've got your food, you've got your every little thing you could possibly need. And if it's a questionable thing that you may or may not need it, bring it.
Yep. So, yeah, that's exactly my advice. Preparation is the prevention of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're driving to your show, take everything.
Yep.
If you're flying, you got to be a little bit more like precise with the list.
Yep.
But if you're driving, if you got room in the car for it, fucking put it in. But it is about lists and being prepared. You're totally right. And then also just mindset. Do yourself some favors. Just stay in your room, chill out, go. Yeah. Like you don't have to go down and hang out with all the other competitors and check everyone out and try to look at everyone's forearms. And like people just get caught up in like going down, hanging out at the weigh-ins, trying to look at their, I hear this stuff. They're like, well, I went and hung out at the weigh-ins. I, you know, cause they have those long weigh-ins at some shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to catch certain people showing up and seeing how much the weights were. And I'm like,
why?
Fuck. Yeah. Just like,
you can't change anything at that point. Anyways. No. What's the point other than a mind fuck to yourself?
Yeah, I think one thing that I was pretty good at, obviously everyone had like, you know, maybe a show where they weren't good at it, but I was pretty good at, I was just the only one on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did not give a flying fuck what was going on in the hotel, who was there. I was just like, I couldn't have given less of a fuck about anything. I was just like, when's my tan, my next meal, I'm laying down.
You know what another thing is that I think in line with this question is what show you're doing changes none of this.
Yes.
I've got a friend that's getting ready for the Nationals. I set him up with Chris, and I set him up with Chris because he can win Nationals. He's that good. Okay. You know, I don't pass just anybody to Chris. So I gave him to Chris, and he texted me the other day, and he's like, hey, I got some questions about training. You know, how do you think, what would be my best route for training? I mean, all these like really beginner questions, you know? So I sent him back a picture of himself from 2 years ago when I thought he was his best. And I said, I would do what this guy did. He was phenomenal. And then I would listen to everything Chris says and turn my brain off. And as soon as he got that, he was like, well, and then I said, dude, it's a bodybuilding show. You've won a lot of these. Nationals means nothing. Do what you did for the first overall you ever won as far as being confident and going for it and turn your brain off. You know, I mean, Chris, I used to bring Chris to all the shows and he would laugh because he would look at me. I'd pose. He'd tell me what to eat. I'd eat. I'd go to sleep. And then 3 hours later, he'd knock on my door to wake me up to do it again because I'd just go right back to sleep.
Yeah.
I owned my businesses at the time. I worked 12-hour days. I had 3 days to sleep and be lazy before the show. Unlike everybody else, I wasn't in a hurry for a show. I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to watch movies and sleep and eat for 3 days and nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. You got to be in the zone, man.
Yeah.
I know people say they're like, oh, yeah, you know, my wife wants to run to the mall and get a pair of shoes. And then, you know, I got to go buy some fucking razors because I didn't bring razors, and then I got and then we're gonna go downtown and see her uncle, and then we're gonna be, I'm like, whoa, this is the Nationals.
No.
Like,
I fucking ban you from leaving the room at all.
Yeah, that's a Sunday list of things to do, you know.
Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know if we'll have
maybe might not have time. Okay, here's another one. This one's, I'm actually going to throw myself a question, just because it's from a buddy of mine, and I know everyone will get a laugh. It's from my buddy Daryl. Says, does the Olympia or the Adult Video Awards have a better expo? And it's the Olympia. The Olympia has a far better expo. It's way bigger. People always ask me questions about that because I've been to the AVNs a few times. But trust me, it's like a tiny ghetto version of the Olympia. There's just as much nudity.
And that means about 8 years ago, there was more nudity at the Olympia because they actually made all the booths tone it back.
Yeah.
When body paint became a regular thing, some people at the Olympia were like, there are children running around here.
Yeah, I remember that when body paint was a thing that 1 year.
Yep.
And they were like, whoa, okay.
We didn't know you guys would take it this far, so now we need to have rules.
So here's one from B Palm Tree. What was your most lagging body part, and what actually helped you improve it?
Here's tricky. For me, my body parts changed. When I started bodybuilding, all I had was legs from playing hockey. And believe it or not, my back was my weakest body part. So changing into progressive overload, and specifically the DC stretching, now obviously my back is my strongest body part. So the progressive overload was the key to that, to answer that portion of the question. And now I would say the legs were and still are a lagging body part for me. But what has changed that or made them better was realizing that although all muscles are muscles, they don't all respond the same. And we kind of took it as maybe all the years of skating changed what my legs needed. So I operate in sets of 15 or 20 straight sets when I'm looking to put on size, and just blood and truthfully pounding the shit out of my legs in comparison to everything else, and that has proved to make him grow.
Yeah, I think that, you know, my worst body parts to me were always like probably my calves or my arms, just size wise. Like I had good arms, you know, like they look good in my shots. You know, I never really had judges tell me that I needed bigger arms, but I always really felt like I did. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it wasn't like judges would come up to me and go, "You got to put an inch on your arms." It would be like when you'd look at the photos, you could be like, "Well, your arms could be bigger." Right. And I felt like my calves and my arms were at their biggest when I was doing the most volume for them.
Right.
And they were just body parts that responded to volume better, I thought. Like, you know, my chest and shoulders and legs and back were at their biggest when I was at my strongest.
Right.
But my arms were at their biggest when I was doing like 16 sets of buys and 16 sets of tries once a week on an arm day. And then also kind of pumping each one, like maybe a bit of biceps with back and a bit of triceps with chest.
Right.
That was like kind of when my arms were at their biggest. And then same with calves, you know, like training them like two or three times a week really hard and stretching the shit out of them.
Yeah.
But that's just what those body parts responded to. And I felt like I should have maybe done that a little earlier. I might have gotten them bigger in time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But I think that that's the answer to the question ultimately is it's a little different for everybody. So yeah. These guys, when you're asking these questions, guys, try something like this and give it enough time to prove it works or doesn't work. And then if it does, obviously stick. And if it doesn't, then you might need to find something else to play with. But I think that that's where guys miss is either they don't try different things or the more common version is they try everything, but they give it 2 weeks. Ah, they didn't grow.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that was that's the thing.
Trained arms that way for 2 weeks. Of course, they didn't grow.
Yeah. So I remember I committed to blasting arms like high volume. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this all year. Like I'm doing this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think
unless
about it. Like
shrink. We're gonna do this.
Unless they literally shrink. And I remember the problem became I had to manage a little bit of tendonitis. I had to adjust like dial things a little bit so they didn't. So my elbows were okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was pushing it for volume. Let's see the next question from Lucas J37. What are some unique rituals you guys have when you get into the final weeks of prep? And I was like, well, Dusty's whole life is a ritual.
I always put my left shoe on first.
Yeah. You are very OCD. You're kind of near the top of the OCD, aren't you?
Yeah. It's funny because it's on certain things. You know what I mean? How things should look, you know, those types of deals. But no, I would say the biggest thing is, and it's a shitty answer to the question, but I literally live life the exact same way every day. My running joke with people is if you wanted to kill me, follow me around today so you know exactly where I'll be tomorrow.
Right.
At the same time, doing the same thing. You know, I mean, I showed up to Starbucks like 20 minutes late the other day because I couldn't find my keys. And the barista goes, "Where have you been?"
Like, damn.
Yeah.
We're talking 20 minutes, not 3 days. Like,
it's like if I rock into the gym before noon, they're like, "Oh, what's going on?
Am I getting fired?"
Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, I just came early today." They're like, "Oh, it's weird. We don't see you till 2. So I know the deal. And that's basically,
you know, yeah. they're daily. And I don't know. I find that most, I mean, and maybe you'd agree, but a large percentage of bodybuilders I know that are good, I don't say they're OCD, but they're organized.
Yeah, there's something that they thrive on some kind of like they thrive on the structure.
Yep.
The structure has to be a strong point. And then if you ever meet a bodybuilder who's good and has talent, but doesn't thrive on structure, they never, ever go as far as they could. Those are always the guys where I'm like, oh, he could have won that show if he wanted to.
Right.
He could have turned pro if he wanted to. Because it's just – it's not something that energizes them or invigorates them or makes them, you know, sort of need to be on track with anything. Like I've known a few guys where they were great bodybuilders, but they didn't thrive on the structure. Like I just can't wrap my brain around, you know, you run into the odd guy and he's like, oh, yeah, I haven't trained for a few months. Just kind of got busy and
– Yeah, like, you're like, huh?
I'm like, oh, I just don't even understand, like – I don't even know how that works.
Like, oh, yeah, I haven't showered in a couple of months because I've been busy.
Yeah, it's just so, you know, obviously the routine is something that's important to me, too. I mean, I don't even have to do this anymore. But, you know,
but
it's
yes,
like,
you do.
Still, yeah, but yeah, I do. I still have to.
Hey, guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
So we always save the coach's corner ones, kind of the diet ones and the training ones specific for the very end. So we'll do some coach's corner ones now. Here's one. Oh, this guy's a good bodybuilder. This is Morgan Mack Bodybuilding from Newfoundland. I don't know if you follow that dude. He's a monster. Yeah. So he's asking a legit question. Is it better to have a cheat meal? Like, what would you rather do? A cheat meal the night before training a big body part, mm-hmm. or a cheat meal after you train the big body part? Would you, if you had to pick one?
That's actually a phenomenal question because I've played with it myself to decide. Because I was always, am I feeding tomorrow's workout or am I recovering from today's? My answer was I actually still prefer it the day of. But I do it post-workout, and my cheat meals, they're not cheat meals because they're planned. It's a high calorie meal that's meant for the fact that I've probably dialed everything else back that day. So I think when most guys think cheat meal, they're like, nah, I'm going to go all out and kill myself. My cheat days typically fall on a day where I did no cardio and the training was about 70% and we're using that food to fill up. You know what I mean? With what he's asking, because the plan is you'll tear up a workout, I would do it the day before. I really think that feeding your entire body a ridiculous amount of calories today, knowing that after meal two tomorrow you're hitting the gym, makes the most sense because of how your body utilizes food.
Right. I get that. I would say that it would depend on whether I was, like, if I was dieting hard,
right,
and I knew I was depleted, and I wanted to fuel leg day tomorrow, mm-hmm. then I would eat it the night before.
Right.
But if I was off season and I wasn't flat, I was eating my normal, say 500 carbs a day or whatever,
yeah,
and everything was going well, and I just had a big leg day, I would eat it afterwards because
right.
I wouldn't need to refill because I'm already like I'm eating lots of food.
You're not flat or flat or missing anything already.
Yeah, I would just go crank the leg day and then I would do the gluttonous calorie bomb.
Right. Yeah. And use the leg day as your excuse for why.
Yeah. And then justify it the whole meal as I order seconds. Exactly. That's exactly. Here's one. So here's an interesting question from RJ Cameron 11. How old is too old to use gear?
My answer is simple. There isn't.
I think maybe it's like one of those, at what point do you see guys kind of like still cranking hard and you're like.
Yeah, I mean, I think number one, I think it's an individual thing because my answer could be 22.
Exactly.
If you're sick, if you're seeing negatives from it, I think that more than anything, what he's talking about is guys that are hanging on. I also this is a secondary question I'm going to throw out there is, I believe in your age and your bodybuilding age. So I'm 37 now.
Something like that.
Give or take. I don't even know. That's terrible. 37, but I started bodybuilding when I was 26. So, right. I mean, I tinkered before that, But I didn't get good at bodybuilding until I was 26. I shouldn't say good. Like I did my first real run for a show and won.
Right.
I was 26. So to me, I'm like, cool. I'm 11 years old in bodybuilding. Prior to that, I'd never done anything. And it wasn't until 8 years ago that I'd done anything like growth or anything like that. So I feel like I'm younger than a kid who started at 16 years old and is 30 years old now.
Right. You know, I know what you mean.
So how long they've been abusing and everything else. So difficult for me to give a straight answer on that. But I think the biggest thing is if you're not seeing results, you're not seeing change. And the big obvious one is your health is telling you it's time to stop.
Yeah.
It's time to stop.
Yeah. And my answer is like, you know, they say that the dose makes the poison.
Right.
And that's just what it is with life. I mean, if you got a guy that's running, you know, a few hundred milligrams of this and that just to look good in the summer, I mean, he can do that till he's fucking 70.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I meant by never is
because yeah.
I will be on 200 milligrams of test a week for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And then some of the stuff you see the 20-year-olds doing, I mean, that's why they're burned out by the time they're 27 and they're done. They can't compete anymore. Their bodies don't do anything and they got problems. So, yeah, I would say it's just totally person to person. You got any Coach's Corner ones over there?
You know, no one really gave any direct shots. The only thing that I got was a question, and I think this is a pretty easy one, so I'm just going to throw it to you. A guy asked, would you set up a progressive overload program differently for a guy in his 40s than a guy in his 30s?
Oh. You want me to take that one first?
Yeah, because I think a lot of people know my answer, so yeah.
Well, the answer would be yes, but I would, just from personal experience, I mean, I still train with a progressive overload mentality, right? It's the principles. I'm always trying to push myself to do more. But obviously within the confines of maybe tightening up the form or changing the form or using a different exercise or whatever. But for stuff like the rest pauses and I know like the kind of progressive overload hallmark, you know, techniques, I would simply raise the total rep range up. Yep. So, you know, maybe you're hitting like a 10, 4, 2 on a rest pause.
Right.
I would maybe have the guy hit a 15, 7, 5.
Right.
No, those numbers are just an example of where he would fail, you know?
Yep.
But that would really be, it would just be kind of like, how are your joints? What's your training age?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started training at 14, like a maniac and now I'm 44. So I'm going into my 30th year of training. So my training age is like 50, but my blood work age is like 35.
Right.
Because I'm as healthy as I've ever been, you know? So you do have to factor that in. That would be my answer. What do you think?
No, I think it's phenomenal. And you nailed everything. So the synopsis is just simple. The idea of a progressive overload does not change at all. But what you're doing is you're just increasing the numbers. And that's just, again, like Ron said, you're making sure that the joints take a little less of a beating. But the cool thing is you still get to attack the logbook the same way. It's just like you said, last week I got 14 on my first attempt. I'm shooting for 15 versus last week I got 7 and I'm shooting for 8. You know, I do the same thing. So, yeah. And I think that's how it's a Dexter thing, you know, like we talked about changing. And now you get to continue to progress, hopefully.
Right. Okay. This was kind of a funny question because I've never been tested, but how do you deal with snoring as a big bodybuilder and do you use a CPAP?
So I do not have sleep apnea.
Okay.
And I have not had an issue snoring unless I'm over 305.
Okay.
So like right now, but here's a weird one and I can't possibly explain it. I can't sleep on my back or I will snore. So I sleep on my sides, but I literally sleep with 37 pillows so that I cannot have body parts fall asleep and die. But I found, and this is a home test. It can be done by the poor woman that sleeps next to you. If I sleep on my left side, I get punched in the face and told to turn over. If I sleep on the right side, I'm silent. And
really?
Don't get
okay.
It. So
Okay.
So I can't tell you why, but I do know if I get punched, I need to roll to the right.
I used to snore a lot more. I remember when I first got up into the 300 area, like, you know, first broke 300, there was a lot of Burger King involved. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, my girlfriend would tell me, like, oh, you're snoring. Like, you know, I got the elbow a lot, bam, bam, you know? Yep. And, but this was back, like, you know, so many years ago, it wasn't the big CPAP rage. Not everyone was getting tested. We didn't really know much about, like, we weren't aware that we probably had sleep apnea.
Right.
And, I just sort of suffered like that. Just did that forever. And then it got to a point where it's like, I don't know what happened, but it's like my version of 300 plus was more muscle and less fat and water. And I stopped snoring.
Right.
So I remember being like 310 one year, because when I worked with Chris near the end of my competing, I sort of stayed a little lighter. But I was like 310 one off season, and my girlfriend was like, you don't snore at all anymore.
And you're 310 pounds.
And I was like 310. I was like, oh, I guess that means I'm like more muscle and less fat. But it doesn't really mean that, because it's all about your neck and shit. So I don't know why.
Yeah.
So
who's happy about that?
Yeah. And then now, obviously, being a lot lighter, I don't snore. But even then, I read an article the other day about how you can still have sleep apnea if you don't snore.
Oh, for sure.
And I was like, you have
to get tested to really know if you have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
With that, has to do with breathing. And that's how I know, is I actually did get tested, because I don't sleep well at all. So I thought that maybe I was getting stirred by lack of oxygen, and then my brain turns on because I just happen to wake up.
Right.
But it's just that I'm crazy. So,
I just asked my doctor, my last time I got my blood work, I said, can you book me in? So someone's supposed to call me, and I'm going to go get a test. Just, you know, I'm on this health kick now, Dusty. I'm taking all the vitamins.
They looked at me and said, you know how they look and they go, you woke up 26 times and whatever. In mine, they're like, you fell asleep twice in 26 hours.
Right.
I was supposed to be sleeping. But it did make it hard. They got you all plugged in. And, you know, I'm a creature of habit. I'm not at home. Zoe's not here. How the fuck am I supposed to sleep anyways?
Exactly. I was going to ask you, the next Coach's Corner question is, how close to a show will you take a client?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean that close to their show?
Yes. How close to their show? Like, how much of a kind of an emergency helper are you willing to be?
Well, here. My answer would usually be 8 weeks. But I just helped a guy in 2 weeks turn pro. So
okay.
It depends. You know what I mean? It really is dependent on them, where I'm at. And if I have a good feel for how they got there. But I did, like, I told this kid straight up, I said, look, I can make you better, but I could have just shy of guaranteed you one had I had 12 weeks. Two has got me enough time to kind of polish what you brought me. But I much prefer some time. And even a guy that comes to me at 8 weeks, the big thing that I tell them is, it doesn't matter where you are today. I need to know how you got here. So
yeah.
Can you show me the 8 weeks before I met you?
Yeah.
If I see that, within reason, I can do essentially what I would have done anyways. You know, and that's a lot. But those people need to be so on it. Like, you know, it's got to be perfect detail, because in the beginning, I'm spending the first week figuring out what I would have figured out over 10 weeks.
And now you're 7 weeks out.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And that's the thing, is, so I'd much prefer to, I'll tell you the truth. I like 30 weeks. Then I get 14 weeks of an off season and 16 weeks to get you ready.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. That's what I prefer too. Like, a lot of people inquire, hey, you know, I want to do a 20 week prep, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. 30's better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to do 20, I can do 20, but just saying 30 is better. You know, I've taken a few people this year on, like, you know, short notice. One was 13 weeks, which 13 weeks isn't a bad length of time. She didn't have a lot of weight on, but she hadn't started prep yet. It wasn't like her body was already rolling.
Yeah.
So it was like 13 weeks starting now. So it was, I said, you know, this is a bit of a pinch, but, you know, let's go for it. Mm-hmm. And then I did like a 3 week for a guy who just contacted me. He's like, hey, you know, I left my coach 6 weeks ago and now I'm 3 weeks out, you know, but he was totally cool. He's like, understood. He's like, I know you can't like turn things around. And he was behind. So I even said, I go, I don't think I can get you where you want to be. And he said, well, how about you just help me salvage as much as possible. And he wound up top three in his class, which he seemed happy. But, you know, at the same time, it was like, you know, I mean, man, it's only 3 weeks, you know. So as long as they don't expect the moon and have, I guess it's a depends on what their level of expectations are, you know. Yeah. You don't want someone coming in, they're like, hey, we're 8 weeks out, let's win this show. And you're like,
and you look at their body and go, I need 20 weeks.
I need 20, yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes when I get guys that are close, what I appreciate is usually it's an interview.
Like, yeah.
You know, the guy who hired me 2 weeks out, he told me, so what is the off-season cost before he paid me for the prep? So the plan was just to rotate right through. So we did, and fortunately, things went my way, and he turned pro. So that was a nice win, but definitely not what I promised.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's good. It's good when you have those. It's nice to, you know, I mean, it's cliche, but, you know, help somebody kind of fix a problem.
Yeah.
Is always, you know, I mean, that's always a good feeling. It's nice to obviously start with someone from start to finish and have a great result, but it's also cool to know you can help someone when they're like kind of desperate. Cause sometimes people like to come to you and they're like, I kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
You know,
in that case, you know, he was right there. It was literally tweak this, tweak that. And it was fine. Like,
yeah.
You know, even when I post about it, I'm like, I didn't do this.
Right. I helped this guy at the end.
Yeah. I polished a perfectly painted car.
Yeah.
At the end.
What one last Coach's Corner question, which is a good one. It's what do you think of organic food versus non-organic food? Do you think it makes a difference?
You shoot first on this one. I've been jumping on all of them.
Okay. So, I mean, it would depend on what your reason for wanting to use organic food was and what food it was and how the rest of your diet was. I mean, there's a lot of factors. I do like grass-fed beef and free-range meat.
Yep.
Because the fat profile is different. There's different fat profile in the meat when it eats its normal diet versus eating a corn diet. There's some studies that show it's not that much different. It's actually like trivially different.
Right.
So maybe it doesn't matter. I just kind of have a great butcher situation now and I'm getting great stuff, so I don't want to change it. So yeah, I don't know.
It tastes a little better. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's really great. It's really great product. So that's why I like it. Some people claim they can taste the difference between a corn-fed steak and a grass-fed steak, but I don't know if that's true. I'm sort of a skeptic about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the word organic has become like a real marketing term.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
And it doesn't necessarily fucking mean anything. And then also remember, sometimes organic means worse. Sometimes organic means shorter shelf life, less flavor, and actually less nutrition. Some unorganic food like fruit and stuff can actually have more vitamins in it because
right.
it's grown bigger. It actually produced more. It's actually kind of like a on steroids version of that fruit. It's like, have you seen regular marijuana growing in the dirt and then a hydroponic marijuana plant?
Why is
there's it
cool?
And trust me, there's a difference, right? And the one growing under all the lights using all the science, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be anti-science. I think sometimes the organic food claim is almost a little bit on the anti-science side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not even like the grass-fed beef thing isn't necessarily organic because grass-fed beef can still be non-organic,
right?
Yeah. That's just sort of, I was just sort of mentioning that as an example. But I don't really, I think a lot of that's marketing. And some people claim there's a difference. They're like, oh, if I eat organic potatoes, I'm not as bloated. And I'm like, I don't know. The brain's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, and then obviously everything that's organic costs like $5 more.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're a college student and you're trying to be a bodybuilder, it's like, just get the normal oatmeal. You'll be fine.
I think where one thing, and you know, I'll take a quick spin with this, is where guys screw up is I hear them, imagine me hammering on organic, drinking Crystal Light out of a plastic jug. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
You can undo everything you claim you're doing with all these other things. You know, I Splenda my organic green beans. Like, you know, I think a lot of people, what they're doing on accident is they're picking this super pointed, it's like a diet when they want to know this exact supplement that they should be taking, but they're not eating right.
Right.
I'm like, well, creatine doesn't even fucking matter. You eat like shit. Right. Same idea. So, and then the big one is for me is it's price, man. I mean, you just, if you can afford it and you think it's worth it, by all means. But I mean, to this day, and everybody knows, cause I'm pretty open about it, like I waste a shit ton of money on food, but I'm still aware of the fact that I eat 50 ounces of chicken a day cooked. So I really don't want that price to be $5 a pound when it's two.
Right. I know what you mean.
So, yeah, I mean, so my answer to that is it's really not that important. Listen to your body, but don't let your brain tell your body how it feels.
Right. And I would also say that you have to be careful not to think across the board. So yep. Like saying organic and like, no. Maybe there's a couple things that are going to make a difference. Like maybe this one product, you do actually do better with that one thing organic for some weird reason, but it doesn't mean that everything else being organic is going to make any difference at all. So it could be food to food. Again, like organic means so many different things as far as the actual difference in the food. Like for fruit, it means, you know, like I said, it's going to last 2 days instead of 5 days. It's going to, you know, it doesn't stay ripe as long. So there's all those factors as well. But the grass-fed beef thing I do like, but again, I'm sort of just partial to my butcher, so I'm not going to say there's any actual physique difference. I'm just saying I enjoy it.
There you go.
Okay. How do you feel about that, Dusty?
Awesome. I think it was good. I think another good day. We got the Olympia locked in. Got some questions. I hope everybody keeps jamming the questions and, you know, remembers that there's a lot of people thinking the same stuff. So don't be afraid to get us questions. No basic or exact. We'll answer anything. I mean, we know what happened with Ron and Kendra Lust, and we now know about organic food. So,
well, I'm actually surprised. Like, I know we never really said whether or not we were going to like talk about drugs on this show or not. But we haven't really people, which I like, people haven't been sending us like all these drug questions, which I think actually means we have a good audience because it's not just a bunch of guys that just want to ask drug questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they understand that the other stuff is more important.
You know, like they'd rather ask about the AVN expos, which.
Or Bible, different drugs.
Or Dusty's private life, or rather, yeah, they want to know this stuff instead. So I'm just really happy with the feedback we're getting. And, you know, I was the DLB episode was great. Appreciate everyone. We're learning a lot from each episode. Like whenever I watch one back, I'm like, oh, OK, we should do more of that, less of that. You know, it's a little because I'm pretty critical of what I do. So what's going on for you that aside from this show, what can people look forward to?
You know, I mean, I think the big things right now is we're just going to try. I want to get a little more out there. So I'm working, and I say working because my main video guy lives in San Diego, and it's awesome. But it makes when people see my content, that's filmed over 2 days and spread out over 6 weeks. I'm actually interviewing late next week some college kids that will start spending a couple days with me every week filming everything.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be cool because I've had a lot of people that want to see things I would never think matter.
Yeah.
So we're just going to produce it all. And just like you just said for the show, I hope that everyone understands, like, we want the feedback. And I'll be honest with you, the good feedback's cool, but I'd really like to know the shit that you're like, that's garbage, don't do that.
Right.
Because it really is put out there with the hopes that people enjoy it in any way, whether it's entertainment or whatever, or education. And same with the radio show. Like, guys, we do want to know. I mean, it's perfectly fine for someone to go, we didn't really like that. You know, I had a guy, he said on the YouTube channel, oh, DLB, I just ended my subscription to your channel. I was like, oh, cool, fuck off. You know, but I mean, that stuff, when there's a value to it, it's good. You know, then we can push it a little better.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. For me, I had a Mutant on a Mission come out last week. It was Virginia Beach Iron. It was a really cool gym. So it looks like I'm lining up another couple of gyms to shoot Mutant on a Mission with before the end of the year. So I'll be announcing those, you know, when I finally lock down the dates and all that stuff. And I'm just sort of excited to close out the year with a, I envy you and admire you for your stance at the on the Olympia. Mainly because you don't have to leave your house, which sounds a little bit nice.
Probably the real reason I'm doing it. Go ahead.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to having fun in Vegas, not having to work. Because, this is the first Olympia since 2011 that I haven't been at the mutant booth.
Right.
And I almost forgot what it was like to enjoy the Olympia and not be just fucking exhausted.
Right.
Like, people don't, like, unless you work, you do 8 hours at the booth on Friday, standing on your feet, talking to people nonstop. Then you do 8 hours on the booth on Saturday, talking to people nonstop. And then Saturday night's the finals.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's a long weekend when you work those booths. So, my hat goes off to everyone who will be standing for 6, 7, 8 hours at the expo.
See me there.
Yeah. I'm going to do a 2 hour lap.
You're going to go see the people and the friends and families that you know and want to see and scan the rest.
I'm going to go see the friends that I want to see that also happen to be there before noon on Friday. It's always a bummer because you're like, okay, I'm just going to go Friday morning. Like, and then you go and you see someone you actually wanted to see and their booth says 1 to 3. And you're like, ah, fuck, I'm not going to see them. Yeah, you know,
a text with a picture.
Yeah, I was here. Okay. Thanks, Dusty. Yeah, it was good. So I'll see you. We got to line up a guest. We don't officially have our guest locked in for our post Olympia show. So hey, maybe it's not too late to get the listeners to throw some names out of who they think would be a great post Olympia guest.
Why don't we throw that down on your page here? Who we should have?
Yeah, and we'll definitely lock someone in right away. So thanks again, man. We'll let everybody go. This has been a Ron and Dusty only episode of It's Just Bodybuilding. Cheers, everybody.
Voices Radio Network.